Let's go to Luke 22. Scripture we've talked about many times, verse 28. I want everybody to see that I'm not making it up.
Where are we?
Luke 22, verse 28 through 32. He's talking to his disciples. And he said, "You are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." We believe that the purpose of God and the purpose of our prayers is to fix our tests, our temptations. Remember this word temptations. It's the word philispis. It means to squeeze you through, literally, a hole that's smaller than your eye can see. But it's literally, it's the word that would be used to squeeze toothpaste out of a tube. That's the temptations, the tests of life. Now the question is, are you continuing with him in his temptation, in his test? Or are you believing that you have something going on in your life? The moment the subject of your sentence goes away from him and to you, then you're just like every other person. You're wired to move always and ever towards self-realization, self-protection. And it's the opposite of his test. His test was to never lean on his own arm of understanding, but in all his ways to acknowledge the Father as the author of the test and as the finisher of the test. Now, it's the way these scriptures work, it's right after he said that, he said to Peter, he said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to sift you as wheat. That he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not." He could have easily said to Satan, "Don't touch him." But he said that while you're being sifted as wheat, that your faith fail not, that you not think that something is going on with you. Now, I talked about this yesterday morning. And from listening and watching things that I heard yesterday, a whole bunch of stuff happened that said something was going on with them. You missed the whole point of the Bible study. Don't you see how many millions of times you've been deceived by thinking that something was going on with you? Something that you had to deal with? Every time, in every test of Christ, he said, "I have set my face as flint to go up to Jerusalem." He wasn't talking about the Jerusalem that now is. He was talking about the heavenly Jerusalem. Because he had full faith in the Father, that the Father would take him through everything without any regard to what was going on in him. And so he completed the way perfectly. The moment, the moment, the second that your eyes shift from the temptation of Christ into your temptation, then you will depart from him, because you will savor the things that be of man and not of God. Can you hear me? Paul said in Galatians that if I yet pleased men, including himself, he could not be the servant of God. He could not be doing the will of God. He could not be in Christ the minute his point of view shifted from God to man. Now, listen carefully. The point of view doesn't shift from man to God by praying that you would be relieved of the thing that's going on with you. That continues. Your point of view is continuing to be man, you. You understand that? Can you pray with Christ when he prayed for Peter, when he prayed for you, that Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but he has prayed for you that your faith fail not, that no matter what transpires, that it's your faith, not faith to get something or faith to get you out of the situation you're in, but faith that always keeps your point of view on God, always sees the finished work of God in every possible thing that you're in.
Yeah, it seems like our idea of Jesus would be that he was afraid that Satan would go away. I mean, that's our thought about it, and it's always going to be wrong.
This is why. You got to hear this. This is why he said, no man can come to me unless he hate his mother, his father, his sister, his brother, his wife, and his children, yea, and his own life also. Because as long as you sift your point of view, shift your point of view from God, then you will enable whoever the person is, whether it's your husband or your wife or your children or your brother or your sister or yourself, you will shift your point of view from God to them. Can you, instead of praying that, oh, they'll be healed, or pray that they'll be fixed, or pray that this will happen, or can you begin to pray with Christ that your faith, that their faith fail not? Can you see that you've got to start confessing the Lord Jesus? Again, remember, that means to speak the same thing, to see the same thing. Can you confess with God so that your point of view is never on the human race, but it's always on God? And you pray that your faith fail not, not your faith to change the circumstances, not your faith to fix it, not your faith to get something, but your faith that always God is the author. God is what is. He has wrought all your works in you. It is perfect. It is exactly what it should be from his point of view. Or are you going to still be this little baby, the spiritual infant, that always has you as the center of your attention, that always, no matter what happens, the moment that some... Satan just means the opposer. He opposes so that that good and wonderful and perfect will of God is always manifest, no matter what the situation. Christ in you is that gold. You are the quartz. And as God is chipping away the gold, I mean the quartz, so that the gold is revealed, can you stop praying for yourself? Can you start praying that the gold would be revealed? And then when the acid is poured on the gold to get rid of all the impurities, can you still pray for the gold, or are you still praying for yourself or your associates? As we said yesterday, the human race is wired for self-protection. It's wired to pray and to make faith a commodity to get stuff or to change things. And that's evil. That's the essence of sin, because it's self-realization. It's self-protection. It's wanting something that's happening to go your way. Doesn't matter whether it's something you're doing or something you're involved with or your health or anything else. Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. But he has prayed for you that your faith fail not, that you never once shift your point of view from man, from God to man. This is critical. This is the essence of what it means to be a disciple. Now, Christ has completed the way. Christ in you has finished the course. But he needs, the Father needs that same faith that Christ had to always and never, ever, ever, ever lean on his own understanding, but to always acknowledge God. Never look at your circumstances. Otherwise, you'll be deceived. Just as all those, in John 6, it says, many believed on him. Many of the priests, many of the Jews believed on him. But then what happened? Let's go there real quick. John 6. We're going to end up talking about something I didn't want to talk about. Just shut up. Verse 27. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life, hath eternal life, hath. That means a life not dependent on time. And if it's not dependent on time, it's never dependent on circumstances. Eternal life is the gift of God. It's the ability. John 6, 27. Or 47, I'm sorry.
Okay, now there you go.
Think about it. If your life and your point of view is never dependent on time, then your faith will not fail when he shifts your circumstance. Your point of view is always on eternity, on the eternal now, as the popular saying is. But the eternal now is life eternal. The gift of God is eternal life. The point of discipleship is that your mind would be renewed. Renewed is that great word, anakinesis. It means a gradual conforming to that which already was. That which God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it and nothing taken from it. That is the gift of eternal life. Do you got it? If anything that you're doing is subject to time, it's not truth. If anything that you believe changes with time, it is not worthy of giving it any importance. And then he said, I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. They ate. Their food was that which was time dependent. But it was a picture of Christ, that your sustenance comes from nothing that you do. It's there. It's everything in front of you. That's what it means to eat. Whatever you eat, you gain your sustenance and satisfaction from. Whatever you drink spiritually gives you your worth. So no matter what you're eating or what you're drinking, you're eating the bread of life or the meat of the flesh of Christ. And whatever you're drinking the blood of Christ. Therefore, your worth is never dependent on anything, and your sustenance and satisfaction is never dependent on anything that's in time, because you're from a different source. That's what you do when you take the communion, when you take Afkuman. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who bringeth forth bread from the earth. That is your sustenance. He bringeth forth automatically bread from the earth. And blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who createth the fruit of the vine. That's his blood. That's what you drink. That's what gives you worth. You stop defining yourself by your past. You stop defining yourself by your wants and your ways you think things should be, because you are from a different source. Your life is hid with Christ in God. You have eternal life. Therefore, when Satan sifts you, your faith will never fail. That's why But don't you see, Babylon is popular. The Babylonian religion is about problem solving, cause and effect. That's why the whore of Babylon is worldwide. It's anything that's cause and effect. And the scriptures are clear. It says, "Come out of her, my people. Come out of her." And what's so sad, in the name of Christianity, they're teaching cause and effect. How to, how to, how to. The moment you've gone to how to, then you've entered the whore of Babylon. The moment you think in cause and effect, then the whore of Babylon, which sits on these seven mountains of your mind, controlling your life. And Satan sifted you, and instantly your point of view went from God to man. Was it something I said? I'm sorry, I know.
You know, the sifting is a good thing.
It's the reason you're here.
You know, that's what you do.
Wheat is sifted in order to end up making bread, and grapes are crushed in order to make wine. You're supposed to be sifted and crushed. But if you change your point of view from God to man, then you will leave the test and call it faith. You think you're his servant, you're not. If you think you're a disciple, you're not.
All you can do is accept your death and pray for someone
else. Is this clear? I don't know how to make it any clearer. Aren't you tired of walking in self-seeking? Aren't you tired of living in cause and effect? Aren't you tired of being dependent on time? Aren't you tired of being dependent on circumstances for your sustenance? This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Remember, you're saved by your what is the Romans? Don't go there. Let me just read this real quick. Romans 5. And write it down, go there later. If we were reconciled by his death, we are saved by his life. Because we're eating of that bread. That's what saves us. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I gave for the life of the world. Or give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you shall have no life in you. Now that doesn't mean that... I'm sorry if there's any Catholics. I don't want to offend any mackerel snappers, but... there is no such thing as transubstantiation. The little wafer doesn't turn in to the body of Christ, and the cup of wine doesn't turn in to the blood of Christ. It's a parable. And you do it so that there's a tangible sensory perception that this is his life. This is his body, and this is his blood. And this life is the only thing that gives me sustenance and satisfaction, and this blood is the only thing that gives me worth. I don't need a name, I don't need a degree, I don't need credentials, I don't need anything to have worth. My worth is his blood. Because it's a name above all other names. Verse 54, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his... Can you imagine him saying that in a synagogue? Can you imagine any one of us saying that in the church and saying it what it meant? It's the same thing. Your presence will be offensive to every human being and their value systems. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? And what? And if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. I promise you, in order for your word to be spirit and life to someone else, it must produce death in you, just as it did in Christ. That's why most people don't talk. Because their words will produce... They don't talk this because their words will produce death in the speaker. It produces life in the hearer, if he has ears to hear. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. It wasn't just Judas that betrayed him. It was every punk of flesh that existed that betrayed him. All called crucified, and I promise you, if you were there, you would have called him, crucify him. Because he's a very threat to your existence. The gospel is good news to God. It's the worst news in the history of the world for man. Because it causes your death. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. And then from that time, many of disciples went back and walked with him no more. This is right after he fed the 5,000. Many there means almost all. Listen what happens. Then said Jesus unto the 12, which were all that were left. Listen carefully. Will you also go away? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? Don't you see, the only reason Judas betrayed Christ unto death is because he savored the things which be of men and not of God. That's why you crucify him again the minute your mind and your point of view shifts from the will of God to helping somebody. The moment you give a definition to yourself, that's why you remember, you're the peculiar people. The word peculiar is the negative of the I am. The I am has no modifiers. I am a disciple, then it's you're not an I am. I am is I am. Simon, Simon, Ronnie, Ronnie, Jim, Jim. Every time he uses a double, it means you got to pay attention. Glenn, Glenn, Shirley, Shirley. Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, and I know he has. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. Not your faith as some Babylonian commodity, but your faith always that everything is perfect, that everything is finished, that by one offering you've been perfected forever. That you find out that you know it's sin if you desire any circumstance to be different than it is. Start feeding on the flesh of the Son and drinking His blood. Let that be your sustenance. Let that alone be your worth. Set your face as flint to go up to Jerusalem and lean not on your own arm of understanding in anything. Stop believing that Antichrist mind of yours, that instead of Christ, that always shifts your point of view from God to man. That's its job. Well, this is what I want to do. This is how I want to define myself. It's pure rebellion and it's witchcraft. Because you've gone up to the mountains. You've created your own cauldron. You've taken a little piece of frog of hair and tail of newt and whatever else you can concoct, and you've made your own portion and you call it an idea. You've called it a want. You've called it a desire. And it denies the finished work of Christ. And you're eating of that slop that you've created. Can I make it any clearer? Anyone have any shadows? What? You look like you've been hit by a hammer again.
I believe every word you're saying. I was sitting here thinking I love the book of Job.
Michael, you understand what you've been doing? You're going to repent? That means leave all of you behind. Not save anything for your point of view. If you want to do that, this isn't the place for you. Is that clear? Is that clear? You see, I was looking at somebody else, but I'm glad you shook your head yes. I was looking at Wonder Boy here. Do you understand? Do you agree? What are you laughing at, Ronnie?
It's Johnny Cash.
Man in black. He's really in black.
I got a email from my sister, you know, Amy, who's got all these weird brain things now. And she had lost her job at this place where she's teaching, and then she got another job. But she's teaching older kids, and she just wasn't up to it, you know. And so they've asked her to leave that job. So she lost that job. So she was just all distraught. This email, and it was so great to be able to tell her about this. I mean, this is, we're talking about that your worth is not related to any of that stuff, you know, or anything except him, you know. And it was, because that's the only, anything else I would have told her.
It's the only thing you can tell him.
No good for him, you know. So what, you know?
Yeah, look at when I was studying about this stuff at the beginning. I was, because people always tell me, "Oh, you have no credentials. You shouldn't. You have nothing. You have no right to teach it." And I always agree with them. But it goes deeper than that. Man, I am worthless to the world. I mean, I can't do anything. I can't even feed myself most of the time. If it wasn't for this mystery being manifest, you know, I'd be a basket case, worse than I am already. Anybody have any expansions in the tail, or anybody? Did I meddle in anyone's life this morning? What?
When did you come?
I just feel a warm glow.
But have I ever told you what to do?
When you talk about stuff like this, I frequently think, you know, I'm about to be 60. I have 60 years of events that I thought were crucially important. And life and death and the whole universe depended on whether or not I got into college. And I can't remember any of them. So how important were they? How real were they? They're completely... I was in high school. I was madly in love with a girl around whom the whole universe revolved. Don't even remember.
Don't even remember her name. No. No, it's total. This isn't partial. It isn't something you mix with anything else. But if you live this and talk this, you're going to make a whole lot of people mad at you. But never savor the things which be of man. But if you yet pleased man, you should not be the servant of God. And people always think, well, we help people here. No, we don't. Can you imagine me helping anybody? Huh?
I'd quit.
I mean, people are helped, but it's not because we're helping. It's because something is said that clicks with something they know deep inside, and it sparks a mystery. Glenn, any response?
Really glad to see everybody. I'm leaving back today, and I came in to do a hair follicle test and meet with a doctor. And
you pass. You can't just say you took a test. You got to say
you took the test and passed. I'm doing pretty good as far as that goes.
Been nice to your mother?
Yeah.
You haven't yelled at her lately?
No, we haven't. We've had a real nice day yesterday.
You better be nice to your mother.
I wasn't very nice to my mother.
Well, I wasn't either.
Are you okay?
Yesterday was a good
day. Any response to what was said this morning?
Well, the very things that you were saying today are things that I have been going on in my mind before today.
Great.
Realizing for me that everything that happens, negative or whatever that comes in, or someone coming against me or Glenn or our plan, that all I have to do is put on spiritual blinders and keep my eyes on Christ. And he's using these people or allowing them to.
He's sifting you.
That is right. And that's just something that I have been going through. And so today is a real blessing for me. And yesterday, seeing Glenn, because when he left, there was lots of unhappiness and sadness. And now I see him 6 months later. And
fat and ugly.
Wonderful day yesterday.
I say these two, see him 6 months later, fat and ugly. He's gained a few pounds.
Well, yeah.
Well, can I say something real quick? I know this is over, but I wanted to say that. About two months ago, I know I wasn't on drugs. So I had like a meltdown. I woke up at like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. And I was just, I don't know, I was overwhelmed. I was crying. I was, I didn't know what was going on. I just was thinking of Trinity and everyone here. And I know this is far cry from what John Bojo went through, but you said something a long time ago. You said, you sat when you were in a certain place, you thought about everyone on the block. And, and I was like doing that, just thinking of John, people that I probably haven't ever said anything, probably know that I appreciate them or anything. They've always felt so guilty and shameful about some of the stuff I did around here. But I was overwhelmed. I called Ole, and that was a real neat feeling, though, that I could call you, at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and you answered it. And wasn't like, hey, man, I'm sleeping, Yeah, I mean, that was a profound experience for me to call that, and you, and whatever I said some things, and I can't remember what I said. But it was a neat experience, And I told my mom, and my mom knows this, and my aunt, I said, if you guys don't do tithe anywhere, if your last thing, always give the Trinity, because I know personally that is a place to teach us the Word of God. And so that's how the influence has had on me. I think about you guys every day, man. It doesn't matter where I am. And I feel like I've been stamped as far as a sense of I can discern. I know I'm the chief of sinner, I know that there's no question in my mind. What you're saying, I believe, and so that's a nice, comforting feeling for me when I've been going through what I've been,
Yeah, I mean, it's like
personal hell that I put myself through.
It's like we had this the same thing with others here. That much of what is done is just it's really either just hanging around, just being able to say something or see somebody or call somebody. I mean, there are a bunch of people who said the same thing you just said. That somehow just the fact that we exist gives them a sense of stability. I don't know how to explain that, but it's you got it. Much of what we're about is just hanging around and being honest. It's not about doing stuff. It's about a mystery that we can't necessarily put into words. That's why I won the award. I won the award as the best porch sitter.
That's funny.
Jeez, I would have given that to Betty.
Huh?
I would have voted for Betty.
All righty.